Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Then looking in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Father, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have as Christians of being involved in the wonderful work of making disciples. It's our privilege that you entrust to us to be able to share the gospel and help make disciples as well. And you give us that opportunity also to begin in our own homes with our own families. What a blessing, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be able to introduce our children to Jesus Christ and then teach them how to walk with him. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us to be passionate about doing the wonderful work of discipling our children and being the disciple makers you've called us to. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is important. In the economy of time, every day is important for us to do the job of teaching them to come to know Jesus better and teaching them how to walk with him each and every day. And help us to be good role models before our children and before the world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your commandments. Thank you so much for showing us the way we should live in Jesus. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit that teaches us and empowers us to grow in your kingdom. Heavenly Father, we just want to take these moments to ask you, what do you want to say today? How do you want us to grow? What are you calling us towards? So Heavenly Father, we make ourselves available for you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And of course, we always appreciate you being a part of our listening family. We will have some guests with us today a little later in the broadcast, dealing with the Ten Commandments participants that were a part of our Ten Commandments Challenge project. And we're always grateful to have them on. To begin with, I want to share, as we often do, a discipleship article that deals with a topic related to the importance of making discipling our children, the priority God is calling us to. The article is entitled, Redeeming the Time with Our Children. Again, the title, Redeeming the Time with Our Children. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, see then that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Then Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, Proverbs 22:6. Then Isaiah 54:13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Again, Isaiah 54:13. Then Proverbs 1:8-9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Again, Proverbs 1:8-9. In Psalm 127, verse 3, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Psalm 127, verse 3. Then Matthew 19, verse 14, Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Let the children come to me, Christ said in Matthew 19, verse 14. Our Lord Jesus took time with children and blessed them in his earthly ministry. We're wise to be sure and do the same. Our children, once they arrive on the scene, immediately begin to grow and grow fast. They're born into this world, and oh, how time flies. A few days after they're born, you blink your eyes and they're graduating from high school. How time flies. We as parents have our children for a few days, and then they grow up and are gone. So we're wise as parents and as ministers that work with children to make the most of our time with them. In other words, we must redeem the time. We must use the time we have with them very, very wisely. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, says Psalm 90, verse 12. Yes, we need to redeem the time with our children daily. Yet a critical question is, how do we do that? What are things we can do to redeem the time with our children while they're growing up in our homes? The following are a few discipleship projects or goals to pursue in the midst of discipling our children. They are tasks that can encourage spiritual growth and maturity in our children's faith. In other words, these are things we can do with our children to help us to redeem the time with them. A first idea. Have each of your children read three chapters from the Word of God aloud to you every single day. If you're a grandparent, you could have your grandchildren to read three chapters aloud to you daily by phone if need be, if you need to do it that way. Coming up with a way to reward them so they'll be further motivated to read the Word can often be a wise approach. Next, pray daily with your children. Pray prayers such as the Lord's Prayer. Pray with them daily the Ten Commandments, and pray daily the Psalm 91 with them and other prayers. Reward them to memorize each of these prayers and allow them to sometimes lead the prayers. Next, pray the prayer of Jabez and the prayer of Isaiah with your children every single day. Next, assign them mission tasks daily. Some possible mission tasks could include calling granddad or grandmom or an elderly person in the church or community and read a chapter from the Bible to them aloud. Call them and pray for them. Go to the store and give out gospel tracts sometimes. These are a few. Another one, give your child a cash incentive to read a book about a missionary. Pray daily with your children for ministries. Pray daily with your children for ministries and missionaries. Next, have each of the children memorize the Ten Commandments and recite them aloud to you. Next, discuss the meaning of one of the Ten Commandments and talk with them about how a Christian can live that out in their daily lives. Another idea, have Bible quizzes with your children. Figure out a way to get prizes for correct answers. Next, give your children incentives to memorize passages of Scripture and recite them to you aloud. Next, reward them for reading the whole book of Jonah out loud to you, the book of Ruth, the book of Mark, Philippians, etc. These are just a few ideas. You probably could quickly come up with a much longer list. A key goal for us as parents and grandparents and Christian leaders who work with youth is this, to make planting the Word of God into the hearts and minds of our children a high priority in our and their lives. The Word of God does so much for all of us and for our children. It saves us, it guides us, it molds us, it shapes us. We could go on and on. What the Holy Spirit does in the mind and the heart of a child whose life is being filled with the Word of God, the possibilities are tremendous. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when your child is reading the Word of God, he or she is spending time directly with Jesus. And remember, the Word of God, who is Jesus, heals all the ills of life. Let's be wise stewards of our time with our children. Let's do all we can and should do to introduce them to Christ and guide them to live their whole lives for Him and following Him. There's no better life that our children could possibly live than a life lived closely and faithfully following Jesus Christ. Let's redeem the time. Again, the title of that article, Redeeming the Time with Our Children. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're honored to have as our phone guests today Rebecca Perry, who's the mom, and Noah and Michael Perry, who are young men that participated in our Ten Commandments speech challenge. Rebecca and Noah and Michael, how are you all today?
Thank you.
All right. We're very honored to have you all on the broadcast. And again, thank you all so much for participating. Rebecca, just want to start off talking with you. And again, Rebecca is the mom. And remind us again, what are Noah and Michael's ages?
Noah is 11 and Michael just turned 8.
Okay. All righty. Well, as we begin, I'm going to ask, would you pray for parents that are listening and young people that are listening, that the Lord would just really bless and encourage them in their walk with Him in the midst and through the broadcast today?
Absolutely, sure. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for family. Thank You for Your great love for us and how Your love just wraps around us wherever we are in this world, and You love each of our children more than we could even love them. And we thank You for Your word that gives us wisdom and direction of how to raise them. And I just pray, Father, that You would just give the parents listening and Your children and myself and my husband and those of us who are trying to raise the next generation, I pray that You would give wisdom on our lips, as it says in Proverbs, that our lips could nourish many, and that our mouths would bring forth wisdom, and that we would know what is fitting, to know how to answer the barrage of lies that the culture continually throws at our children and our families, that we would have wisdom to impart, know all the creative ways that are perfect for our family in prioritizing Your word, and that You would just help us, as Pastor Parker mentioned, to redeem the time and to be disciplined in that. And so many things pull for our attention and pull for our schedules. And Father, I just pray for wisdom and discipline to prioritize Your word in our lives. And I just pray these things in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be.
Music from the Walls Group with The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're honored to have as our phone guests today, Rebecca Perry and her sons, Noah and Michael Perry. And Noah and Michael will be sharing their speeches a little bit later, though, but we're talking to Rebecca, who is their mom, first. Rebecca, can you share with us as we begin, how did you learn about the Ten Commandments speech challenge yourself?
I just came across the details of it in one of the AFA magazines, and it was like a short summary of the project, and so that's how I initially found it.
Okay. Well, we're grateful that you found it so that Noah and Michael were able to participate, and I believe we did end up with, actually, I think it's actually was more than about 37 speeches altogether, though, but we're
That's
really
great.
Appreciative of the young folks that participated and their parents who obviously cooperated to help them to get involved. So grateful that you did learn about it so that they could participate as well. Well, what impressed you, encouraged you to participate with your kids and help plug them into the program?
Well, the program runs in June, which tends to be a busy summer month, but it looked doable because it was just another thing to motivate our family to keep studying in the Word and to maybe try to talk more in depth about one of the Ten Commandments. There's not a lot of detailed requirements, so it makes it easier, I think, for younger kids who aren't as experienced at speech making. And, of course, kids love to have their achievements remembered with pictures and videos. So our kids were excited to do this and, you know, do a video of their speech.
Well, again, we're grateful that you had them to participate. And, you know, something I'd say, Rebecca, to you as a mom, thank you again for taking the time to encourage and push the boys to get involved with something that's going to bless them, but also a means whereby they can bless a lot of people. And to every parent listening, I want to emphasize this because this is something I'm not able to overemphasize. Planting the Word of God in the hearts and the minds of our children is so productive because it allows the Holy Spirit to begin to work in their lives in a wonderful and a powerful way that really goes beyond our understanding. And so you can't overestimate the value of planting God's wonderful word in the hearts and the minds of our children. So grateful that you did have the fellows to participate. And something I would say about the speeches is, over the years as we've done this, sometimes we have children, their whole speech basically may consist of simply quoting scripture. Well, that's a wonderful speech as far as I'm concerned. It's the word of God. But when they share maybe their own thoughts and their insights about a given passage of scripture or one of the Ten Commandments, again, whatever their speech consists of, as they simply share truth, it's truth that will bless them and bless the world and the people who hear their speeches. So again, every speech absolutely has been great that we've received, and we're grateful to Noah and Michael for participating as well. So we're going to go ahead and, Rebecca, we're going to go ahead and talk to Noah for a few moments, and we're going to hear his speech as well then. So, Noah, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you again. Want to say thank you again for participating in the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. Were you excited to get to participate in the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge yourself?
Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You know, you sounded very excited in the way you shared your speech. And you look very excited as well. So, again, we're grateful that you did. Well, so it sounded like a good idea to you to get involved in, right?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Well, we're grateful that you did. We're going to go ahead and listen to your speech, and then we're going to come back and talk back to you then, okay?
Okay.
Hello, my name is Noah Perry. I want to talk about the first commandment. It is found in Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. What does this mean? I want to highlight 2 points about this verse. What does it mean to worship something? My Webster's dictionary says reverence or adoration paid to God, a god, or a sacred object. But what is a god? The dictionary explains it in one definition as anything held to be the most important thing in existence. Anything that keeps you from worshiping the true God is an idol. You shouldn't have anything more than Jehovah.
Amen. Amen. Noah, great speech. Great speech. You sound like a very mature preacher. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, you do. So maybe that might be something the Lord has in mind in your future, but you did a very, very good job then. Did you learn anything new about the Ten Commandments as you participated in this project?
Well, I knew about the first commandment, but it helped me think deeper about it.
That's good. That's good. All righty. Well, you were going to share a scripture with us as well, Psalm 1. Would you go ahead and share that scripture?
Okay. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields his fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
All right. You're an excellent reader, Noah. Thank you for sharing that scripture with us today, okay?
Yep. You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, sir. Thank you. All right. Next, we're going to talk to Michael. Michael, how are you doing today?
Good.
That's good. Remind me again how old you are, Michael?
8
years old. All right. Well, again, we're really grateful that you participated. You did a great job with your speech as well. What would you say was your favorite part about the Ten Commandments speech challenge?
By making my speech.
Okay, you enjoyed doing your speech then, hmm?
Yep.
All right. Well, you and your brother both sound like little preachers to me. So, again, maybe one day I'll get a chance to come hear you all preach when you all become pastors of churches. Maybe. I hope so. So, well, do you think you'd like to do this again next year when we have the speech challenge again?
Yes, I would like to do it next year.
All right. Well, I hope you'll do one every year we do it, because you did a great job. We're gonna listen to your speech, and we're going to come back and talk to you again, okay?
Okay.
Hello, my name is Michael Perry. I'm here to review my notes on the First Commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The First Commandment is also very similar to the Second Commandment. The First Commandment. Why is it the First Commandment? Because it's the one and most important commandment. The First Commandment is also only a word. Thank you.
All right, Michael. Great speech. Great speech again. Thank you so much for sharing that. And tell me just a quick question, too. Have you and your brother worn your Ten Commandments T-shirts yet?
Yes, I have a couple of times. I'm not sure about my brother, though.
Okay then. Well, we appreciate you wearing it, because I think it's when you wear it, it can remind people about God's Word and and who Jesus is as well. So I hope you'll get to wear it very, very often, you and Noah as well. But again, thank you so much, Michael and Noah, for participating in the Ten Commandments Project. And Rebecca, let me talk back to you for just a few minutes here, okay?
Sure.
Can you tell me what goes through your mind as you listen to your two boys share truth that can encourage other young people in the world? What goes through your mind?
Well, it's very encouraging to hear it. I mean, obviously, as a mom, you're always thinking, okay, how can we do this better? Or how should we? It's probably a little bit of, you know, the school mom in me of, you know, how to do a speech. But I, you know, it's very exciting to know, to see your kids memorize scripture and be able to read scripture and make it personal for them. So,
right.
And they had individual ideas as to what they wanted to put on their speech.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of talking ahead of time, and a little bit gets in the speech. But I really think that that process is very beneficial for them and encouraging for myself, too.
Right, right. And again, thank you so much for taking the time and the energy to help them get involved. And, you know, of all the speeches that we received, they're all different. But all of them were young people sharing truth that the world needs to hear. And, you know, I'm just really grateful for every parent as well as each child that participated, because it's one more way where they can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live in a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ and desperately needs the Word of God in the hearts and the minds, planted in the hearts and the minds of our children, too. So I want to ask Rebecca, would you pray for the church, that the church would become more effective at encouraging parents to take discipleship seriously? Would you pray for that?
Sure, yes. And I just wanted to thank you first, before I pray, for initiating this project and putting it out there as a challenge, because I think it's something that is very doable for families, and I'm grateful that we were able to participate. So thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Yes.
And let's pray. Dear Father, we come before you again today and want to pray for the church across this nation. And we thank you for the privilege of being Americans and living with so much religious liberty and such a Christian heritage. And I thank you for what you have done in our nation in the past. And I thank you for the freedoms that we have to go to church without persecution and teach our children your word. And there's so many resources available, audio and print, and so many Bibles and children's Bibles and so many things that we can use to disciple our children. And the devil has so many distractions to keep us from using these and keeping us from being consistent. And I just pray, Lord, for pastors across this nation, that you would give them courage and wisdom and insight to be able to preach boldly and encourage parents and the families in their congregations to make family devotions and discipling their children of such first importance. As Deuteronomy 6 talks about, just living it out daily and in all situations with our children. And we just pray for revival in our nation, that your Holy Spirit would just come and turn the hearts of the fathers toward the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, that there would be an openness and conversation about your truth and your scripture and who you are and what you have done in salvation for us and all things. And I just thank you for what you will do and for your goodness and organizations like AFA and others that are helping and assisting and encouraging families. And I just pray, thank you for the churches out there too that are doing this. And I just pray that you would be convicting church leadership across the nation to support parents and in this endeavor of raising the next generation. And we just pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you for Sister Rebecca and Noah and Michael, and thank you for all the parents and all the young people that participated in the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge this year, and thank you for all the seeds planted in their lives. And Father, in a world where we see so many issues out there, so many tools Satan tries to use to pour toxic darkness into the hearts and the minds of our children. Thank you for the fact that there's nothing that our children need more than your precious and powerful word. Help us more and more as the church to do our job to teach and train and encourage parents to make planting your powerful word in the hearts of their children the priority you have called us to make it. Help us to know, Lord, that there's nothing our children need more than your precious and powerful word. Nothing ministers to their minds and their bodies and their hearts and their lives like your word. Nothing nourishes, blesses, molds, and develops them more and more into what you would have them to be. Guide us, Father, as families to more and more make putting time together, making the time to put the word into our children's hearts and lives the priority you have called us to make it. Thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, anoint all parents listening with a fresh anointing for the work of discipleship, discipling their children. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Toby Mack with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. And again, today we had the privilege of having guests on, Noah and Michael Perry, two young men that participated in our Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge, and their mom, Rebecca, on with us. And on an ongoing basis, one of our goals through the broadcast is to encourage parents to take discipling our children very, very serious. We can't overemphasize how important it is, and so I hope that you will, as parents and grandparents, be encouraged to make it more and more the priority God is calling us to make it in our families and in our homes. 2 Timothy chapter 1 is a chapter that amongst other things, deals with the importance of encouraging discipleship within the family. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Verses 1 through 18, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to take time now to share an article, another discipleship, family discipleship article entitled Children Who Read the Word of God. Again, the title, Children Who Read the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Again, 1 Timothy 4:13. Then Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Many parents have never encouraged their children to read the Word of God aloud to them. It's not simply been a priority in many homes, as it should be. Christian parents often take their children to Sunday school and church, and that's a really important thing. That's very productive and a wise thing to do. But sadly, having their children read the Word of God aloud to them every day, along with church attendance, has just not been the priority for many that we would be wise to make it. Allow me to make a case for why it would be very wise to change this reality. Consider this important question and the answers to it. What happens when a child reads the Word of God? What takes place in the life of a young person who is faithfully taking time to read the Word of God daily? Well, the child is spending time with Jesus. He or she is spending time interacting with Jesus as they take time to read the Word. That child is spending time listening to the wisdom, grace, power, and insight of the Creator of the universe. See John chapter 1, verse 1. John 6, chapter 6, verse 63. Again, John chapter 6, verse 63. See Romans 12, 1 and 2. What more productive activity could your child possibly be doing than spending time with Jesus? That young person is also receiving the most powerful, life-changing, and uplifting insight in all of the universe. The transforming power of the Word of God is working on the mind and the heart of this young person as they read the Word of God. The Word of God is impacting this youth in many very fruitful ways as they simply read and meditate on God's Word. See Romans 12, 1 and 2 and Proverbs chapters 1 and 2. This young person, as they read the Word of God, is spending time in the presence of Christ and of God. And when any person spends time in the presence of God, he or she will not be the same on the other side of that time. See John chapter 1, verse 1. Researchers at the Center for Bible Engagement found some interesting insights about the importance of and place of reading Scripture in the life of a believer. According to their research, the life of someone who engages and spends time in Scripture four or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. They discovered that the lives of believers who do not engage the Bible most days of the week, that is 3 days or less, their lives are statistically the same as the lives of unbelievers. Spending time reading and meditating on Scripture daily is much more important and productive than so many really seem to understand. So parents, if you begin the family habit of having your child read the Word of God aloud to you every day, great things can begin to happen in the child, in your child's heart. Why is it important for your child to read out loud to you, the parent? Because you know for sure that he or she has spent time reading the Word of God on that given day. Sometimes a parent may tell a child, "Go read your Bible." Maybe the child will, maybe they won't. Our children are human beings. And as much as we like to think our children will do exactly what we tell them, that's just not always what actually happens. When you make time each day to have them read the Word of God aloud to you, you can know this for a fact. You know that they've spent time reading the Word of God on that given day. Children and youth today are filling their minds with something. Sadly, too often, it's been darkness, toxic information, and wicked worldly thinking and perspectives that are poured into their minds and their hearts, often through the internet, through cell phones, through so many negative tools whereby darkness can be poured into their lives. Too many youth have filled their minds with pornography, online garbage, demonic insights from dark movies and TV shows, horror movies, etc. And too many youth spend time playing dark video games and doing things online that are very negative, spiritually, mentally, and otherwise. The blessed Word of God is pure light. There's absolutely nothing better for our children, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, than the Word of God. We're told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Word of God heals all the ills of life. It's pregnant with the ability to bless us. The transforming power of God's Word is undeniable. It's powerful, and it's very mighty in every way for good. Beginning the habit of having your child read God's Word out loud daily is a very fruitful one. It's a great way to help focus the power of God's Word onto and into the lives of our children in their hearts and their minds. Today is a great day to start this family discipleship goal for your children. It'll help produce eternal fruit. Again, the title of that article, Children Who Read the Word of God. To get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Father, thank you for every family listening. Anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to make discipling our children a high, high priority, like you want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a wonderful day to make that step. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer and commit your life to Him today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you daily. Help me to read the word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey and follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch with us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Or if you'd like to get copies of either one of the articles that we shared, again, the two article titles, the first one, Redeeming the Time with Our Children, and the second article, Children Who Read the Word of God. If you like one or both, simply email the same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.